I was wondering what you guys would think of this here. I had a $100 bill in my pocket at one time. It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen on occasion. And I was trying to get rid of the crazy thing. I couldn't get rid of it. And everywhere I went, people looked at it and said, "I'm not taking that. We don't take bills over 20s or something like that." And went to a couple of different places, and there another place, couldn't get rid of it, and they didn't trust that $100 bill. I said, "What's the deal? You know, don't you guys, it's worth, I got a value here." And of course, they hold it up, they look at it, "No, we're not going to take it." And I look up and hold it, so it looks like a $100 bill to me. And finally, Walmart took it. Walmart always comes through for me. But anyways, I ran into Kim at Walmart, ran into Ernie down there at Walmart, and Ginger, and then I was going to pick up some socks, and some guy reaches around the corner and says, "Don't steal those. Those are some members from Corning." So I could have had a church service right there at Walmart. But anyways, Walmart tends to come through. You know, sometimes you have a value, something that's worthwhile, but nobody wants to take it. And what if many times it's like our Christian experience? We have a lot of value, but nobody wants to take it. How do you get rid of it? Not that we want to get rid of it out of our personal lives, but we want to share it with somebody else. Value, things of value. You know, this year has been of an interest for me. A lot has transpired, and I believe in our culture, about the validity of Christ and whether or not Christianity is something of value for our culture, whether or not we should say Christmas or Happy Holidays or whatever the case. Of course, I've talked about that recently. What do we have in value to offer to the world around us? And most importantly, what do we have to offer or to give to Christ? In the Bible here in Joel chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." Well, Mike is right there. It has something to do with judgment, and you can see that in verse 15. "The sun and the moon shall be darkened." Where do we read that? Revelation chapter 6, Revelation 14, and so forth. You know, those things will be darkened. When these things happen, know that it's near where? Even at the doors. Whenever we see Christ approach the door, whenever we approach a door, you know, judgment is at hand. In fact, turn with me to Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. Joel chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "I will all gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat." When he says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, he's bringing all nations. And when we look at Revelation chapter 14, all nations are gathered together. It's a judgment that takes place for all nations. But what's interesting here is that I want to impart to us, each of us, a value, something that we have to offer to God and what God can do for us. In verse 14, he says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of" where? Decision. You know, you've heard that statement before. We've said that. All of us have said it somewhere in our lives. I'm in the valley of what? Decision. What does that mean for us when we say that? I have a serious decision to make, and I'm about ready to make it, but I have not yet what? Made the decision. Right? And now what it means to be in the valley of decision? That's what we say. It could be a career move. It could be a financial move. It could be a relationship move, whether or not to get married or so forth, right? The valley of decision. I wonder if many of us are in the valley of decision with our Christian experience. In fact, the title today, my sermon title today, is "Lost in the Valley of Decision." Could it be that while we're making a decision, that we lose our eternal existence, we lose our soul, so to speak, to the happiness of having eternal life because we're stuck in a valley of decision? You know, it's amazing. We all have a road to approach somewhere in life, you know. Each of us have been down. There's a fork that meets us, and we have to make the choice, right? Whether to go to the right or whether to go to the left. And we have prayed and we have prayed and we say, "God, send the light. Let it shine over that road that I need to go down, and I'll go down that road." How many of us have prayed those prayers for those types of decisions? We all have. And sometimes no light comes. We ask ourselves, is God listening? Does He care? I believe God cares, but I believe God is calling an action on our part to go ahead and make the choice, and He will lead us and guide us down the right way as we go. Look back at the children of Israel when they came against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was behind them. You know, right then and there, the children of Israel begin complaining, "Moses, how dare you bring us up to die in the wilderness? We have nowhere to go." And of course, you know the story. Moses appeals to God and he says, "God, what am I supposed to do with these people?" Moses lifted up that rod and began walking. The moment their feet begin to touch the borders of that water, what happened? The water began to part. But they had to go forward. They couldn't make a decision. There was no alternatives. They had to make a decision right then and there. Sometimes we are called with the responsibility to make a decision, and then God will bless our efforts, our decisions. They may not always be good, but He blesses. Amen? It's funny because I think about decisions that I've made in my life. Here I was going to school and put all this effort into going to school for auto mechanics. I wanted to be a mechanic and all that stuff, and put in 2 years worth of education, and the Lord calls me out of it. That was a decision that I made based on what I felt God was calling me, but that's not the route He had me. So after I backed out of that, I started thinking of something in the medical field and started working towards that, and then God had me back out of that, you know. But I didn't sit around and wait until God showed me the light where to go. I had to go forward with a decision. We all make decisions in our lives. We make them for good or bad or whatever. What kind of decisions have you made over this past year? I know New Year's resolutions are maybe not an expectation at times for the Christian. We have to make decisions every day based on our faith and our values and our belief system. Hopefully not just once a year, but every day of our lives. It's funny because 2 years ago when I was at the YMCA and I was dropping all the kids off, you know, at their class so I can go work out, and it was jam-packed with people. It was after the first week in January, jam-packed with people. And I asked the lady, I said, "Where are all these people from? It wasn't like this a week ago." She says, "Well, it's the New Year's resolution." She said, "After the week goes by, after a couple weeks, it'll be back to normal again. It'll be quiet, you know." We all make decisions. We all have choices. In fact, Heidi and I were talking a little bit this morning about some choices that we need to make to help each other out a little more. And whatever your decision is for this new year. The Valley of Decision. Maybe there's something God has placed upon your heart to give up, to surrender, to give to Him, to give Him more of your will, to give Him more of your choices, to give Him more of you rather than just a part. Maybe time. Maybe your finances. Maybe your workplace. Whatever it is God working in your heart today to give something of yourself to Him rather than you continually trying to do something for yourself? You know, when we make choices, we base them, I believe, on our belief system. And our belief system, they challenge us to go in the direction that we need to go. But many times we make decisions based on our own desires and our own plans. Isn't that what we usually do? I think of Balaam. You know, Balaam was asked to pronounce a curse upon the children of Israel for some money. He wanted that money pretty bad. But every time he went to pronounce the curse, blessings came out. I wonder if many of us are like Balaam, desiring, seeking our own good when God has another plan for us in our lives. Decisions. Well, multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. We are in a time, my friends, I believe sincerely, according to verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened. I mean, these are prophetic languages of Revelation chapter 6. We know that they have had their time and fulfillment, but we also know that they'll be fulfilled again. Friends, we are living in the hour of what the Bible calls the hour of judgment. We have a decision to make. Will we serve and follow Christ today, or will we wait till tomorrow? Will we follow Christ, surrender our wills, our lives, our desires, everything into the hand of Christ, or are we going to wait till tomorrow? God is appealing to our hearts today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. I have made many promises to God, but many to none avail. And I've decided that as I was reading this morning, that my new goal and aspirations were to be this, that I would throw my life into the hands of Christ and allow Him to continue to be my Lord and Savior. Notice what this, I'm going to read this quote here. She says this, to those who are presenting from the pulpit the truth for this time, I would say, remember that you are engaged in a solemn sacred work. Souls for whom Christ died and who may have the life that measures with the life of God are in the valley of decision. Before you present any subject to the people, talk with God in prayer. Hide self in Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then, in the power of the Spirit, speak to the people. Be sure that you are standing where you can be worked by the Spirit. Would you like to have this type of desire in your hearts? Not necessarily preaching from a pulpit, but to throw yourself into the hands of God so that God, through His Spirit, can work through you. I was reading, have been reading, Dwight Moody's testimony in his biography about his life in his conversion. I know I shared this with you prior, but however, Dwight Moody, before his conversion experience, sat and listened to an energetic person speaking on the hope and salvation of Christ, and he slowly began converting and giving his heart to Christ, and then finally the messenger said, the world has yet not seen a man who is fully consecrated, and I'm paraphrasing, but fully consecrated to the authority and the power of God. The world has yet to see. Dwight Moody says he went away from that experience. He said he didn't appeal to an educated person. He didn't appeal to any man or woman of any stature. He just said, any man. And he said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. That was Dwight Moody's conversion experience, that he would fully throw himself into the hands of Christ to be used by the Holy Spirit. And of course, you know his testimony and his witness to thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who came to Christ because of him. What the world has yet not to see is a man or a woman fully converted to Christ. Multitudes in the valley of decision, making decision. Oh, once these things work out, then I will give. Once these things pan out, once all this mess is fixed, then I will make a decision. I wonder why we don't make a decision today. I wonder if it's because we're too afraid that it may cost us something. Does it cost us too much? Is it going to cost us too much to give our lives over to Christ, to be fully consecrated to Him? Is it going to cost us? Sure it is. It's going to cost us our lives. But we know the future reward is what? It's all worth it. Amen? We need, she says here, to get a view of how the heavenly angels cooperate with human agencies for the uplifting of men. It is the greatest joy of angels in heaven to spread the shield of their tender love over the souls who are turned to God. Their love for those for whom Christ died is beyond measurement. Angels are keeping back the agencies of destruction, for they have an intense desire that sinners shall return to the peace and safety. Angels unite, she says, with true, wholehearted, angels unite with the true, wholehearted servants of Christ to help those who are in the valley of decision. In other words, God embarks upon the angels and gives them a responsibility to go care for those who are in need. God sends His angels to protect and to watch over us, to help us. The angels hold back the forces of Satan. Notice what she says. It is Satan's fierce, unabated desire to destroy souls. You may have heard, you give Satan an inch, he'll become a ruler. Right? Friends, we can't give in to Satan, right? Because we know that his whole purpose is to destroy the saints of God. She says then, but the angelic agencies are standing firm, determined that he shall not gain the victory. Do you realize, friends, that you and I are in a cosmic conflict between good and evil, whether we like it or not? That there are heavenly angels aiding us to help us to overcome, but Satan is yet, on the other hand, trying to destroy our lives. This warfare is going while we wrestle in the valley of decision. And when the final clock of time tolls, many will be lost because they have not made the decision. Are we one of those people in the valley of decision? What's the message to the Laodicean church? I wish you were either hot or cold, not lukewarm. If you were hot, I could do something with you. If you were cold, I could do something with you. But because you're lukewarm, I could do nothing. You sit and we wait, hoping that the preacher will come along and preach just that right message and I will give my heart. I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out and then I will. Friends, today, the Bible says, is the day of our salvation, not tomorrow. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, verse 16, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and His strength of the children of Israel. Friends, there will come a time, as the Bible says, God will come on time and on schedule, whether we're ready or not. Whether we're ready or not. Friends, that plane is going to leave, whether you're there or not. But the decision is, are we going to be there? When God roars, the judgment's over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the archangel descends from heaven with the voice, right? Loud trumpet call, the dead in Christ arise. Friends, the decision's taken care of when the voice, when the roar is sounded. But will we as a people be ready when Jesus comes, or are you stuck in the valley of decision? Do I make a decision for Christ today, or do I wait till tomorrow, or wait until that preacher preaches just the right sermon? A decision. What's the decision? Oh, I'm not talking about financial decisions anymore. I'm not talking about work, marriage, relationship, whatever. Now I'm talking about the decision to follow Christ full-heartedly. Have you made that complete surrender? Have you decided today to make that complete surrender to Christ? When we make that complete surrender, Christ, what does He do for us? He blesses us in everything. When we surrender. She says this, the attention of the people must be arrested. Our message is a savor of life unto life or death unto death. In other words, people can be caught in the valley of decision without making a final decision and they can lose their life. Or they can make the decision and receive eternal life. The destinies of souls are balancing. Multitudes, she says here, are in the valley of decision. A voice should be heard crying, if the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. A decision must be made today, not tomorrow. Who we're going to serve and who we're going to follow today. Bible is very clear today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Well, how do we get out of this valley of decision? Well, I believe one is like Moses. Get those little toes in the water and start walking and the water will spread for you. Amen? God will bless us as we step forward to follow in His plan. But notice this, turn with me if you will to Psalms chapter 23. The old famous verse, the Lord is our shepherd. Psalms 23. How do we get out of this valley of decision? The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But again, notice verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Know what it says there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of what? Of the shadow of death. The valley of decision. Either the valley of decision is a place of life for you or it's a place of death. You can't sit there in the rest of your life compromising, hoping that something's going to happen. We got to make the decision today. But notice who's the one that leads us out of the valley of decision. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who's with me? God is. Who's our shepherd? Christ. Who's the one that leads us out? It's Jesus. We have a decision to make. Will we serve and follow Christ? Will we fully commit, surrender our souls into the hands of Christ? That's the decision that we have to make. But ultimately, it's the one who leads us there. It's Christ who leads us to Himself. Either way we go, we have to make a decision for Jesus or not. Isn't that what the Bible's saying to us? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup run over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life. Friends, when you make a decision for Christ today, not tomorrow, the blessing comes today. Amen? That's the reward. The reward is not being stuck in a valley, not knowing what to do, but making the decision today so that you can have eternal peace and happiness. I will dwell, as he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Right? It's all about Christ. And it's all about Christ in your decisions. You know, it's funny because we many times make these New Year's resolutions. We make decisions all the time. But are they following suit with Christ? How many years have gone by and we look back and say, oh man, I failed again, you know. Each year we come by, each year it's a new resolution. I'm going to resolve not to make the same mistakes as I did last year. But once that year's done, you go back and say, man, I'm resolved not to make those mistakes again. And you keep repeating those same mistakes over again. Maybe it's because we have not put Christ in the center of our decision making. Maybe it's because we have not allowed Christ to be the center of our thoughts. Maybe it's because we not have made Christ the center of our family circle, our workplace, our finances. When we make Christ the center, he says, my cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all my days. God will bless you. Some of you may be able to see down the road of success with easy, open eyes. Some of you may not be able to see past your nose. Trust. We have to trust in the shepherd to lead us and to guide us. And friends, that shepherd's cry. We have to trust in Christ to lead us home. We have to trust and depend upon him for him to bring us home. What did she say here? We need to get a view of the heavenly angels who... She said, we need to get a view of how the heavenly angels cooperate with the human agencies for the uplifting of men. It is the greatest joy of the angels in heaven to spread the shield of their tender love over the souls who turn to God. Once we come to accept Christ and acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, we're not left there as helpless lambs over to a pack of wolves. God gives his angels to do what? To care for us, to bring us home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters and restores my soul. I don't know about you, but we have a new year to look at. And I'm not much for encouraging, telling everybody to start New Year's resolutions. But maybe every week we can start a New Year resolution. We can start a New Year resolution anytime we want. And so I wonder if the Holy Spirit is appealing to your heart today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today, if you hear the appeal of the Holy Spirit, today, follow the voice of Christ. Put Christ on your mantle. Put Christ in your car. Put Christ in your life. Center everything you do around Christ. And I promise you'll find true happiness. You won't look back and go, oh, what a life of failure. What a year wasted. But rather, what God has done for me. Can we be that group of people, as she proclaims that we should be? Proclaiming with the certainty of a message of truth for life or death. A voice should be heard. If you will worship God, worship him. If Baal, follow him. Present the message for this time. Let all have more to teach, to write, and to publish in regard to those things that are now to be fulfilled and that concern the eternal welfare of our souls. Give meat in due season to the old and to the young, to the saints and to sinners. Let everything that can be said to awaken the church from its slumbers be brought forward without delay. Let no time be lost in dwelling on those things that are not essential and that have no bearing upon the present necessities of the people. Friends, the only way that that is possible is through the power and the convictions of the Holy Spirit in Christ. I'm tired of being on planet Earth. I'm ready to go home. And I would hope that maybe 2006 would be the year. At least one day closer, another year closer. Why hang around here anymore? Right? Who wants to be here anymore? I don't. Let's put Christ in the center. Friends, are we the church that's supposed to bear a message to the world? Yes or no? Let's put Christ in the center of our church. Let's put Christ in the center of our homes. Let's put Christ in the center of everything that we do. So that we can, what? Present to the world a place of hope. Jesus is our only hope. Amen. The only way that we can do any of this is putting Christ in the center of everything. So my favorite song that I like to sing is number 327, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And I want to appeal to your hearts today that as you sing this song, that as the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart, that you will do a surrender of your life into the hands of Christ by singing this song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And that maybe your New Year's resolution in this song would be making Christ the center of everything that you do, that you say, every obligation, everything, whatever it is, putting Christ first in the center of all things and letting Jesus lead you out of the valley of decision and fully consecrating your life to Him. Number 327, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Our Father in heaven, it's a privilege that we have to be in this house today to worship You. Maybe we have fallen by the wayside throughout this last year. Maybe we have made decisions and determination in our hearts at the beginning, and we found ourselves back at square one, not knowing where to go and how to get out of this mess we may be in. Whatever the current circumstance in each person's life, I pray, Lord, that You'll reach down from heaven, that You would touch the heart of that person that's hurting and struggling with sin or temptation, and that You would help them, Lord, to give up and to surrender all into Your hands. I pray that You would appeal from heaven with Your sweet voice. Call each person and say, "Come unto Me, all you that are heavy labored, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I pray, Lord, that You would draw each person close to Your side, and that today we would leave this congregation knowing that we have been in Your presence, that we have been with angels, that You are taking care of us, that You're watching over us, that You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Forgive us now, I pray, of our shortcomings, but help us, Lord, to be victorious so that the world can look upon us and see that there is a truly a God that lives in heaven. Help us, Lord, to follow You in Christ's name. Amen.